some lay people in the congregation give the Wednesday evening inspiration. This evening we have Mark Prosser. Most of you know Mark, and I'm going to ask him to come now. Just a reminder, at 7:45, we will need to vacate the auditorium so that they can begin the process of rehearsing for the play.
All right. If you could, take your Bibles, go back to Mark chapter 5, where we started tonight. You have to excuse my voice. It hasn't been good in the last couple of days. While you're turning there, I was going to do tonight's message on procrastination, but I figured we'd push that off till next year or maybe the year after that. And as some of you know, my wife and I have been, My wife and I have been working with the teens, or kind of hanging out with the teens, as I'd like to call it, over the last couple of months. And as my wife would tell you, it's not because I act like one. I hope to someday act like one, a teenager from the preschooler that I currently act like one. But out of seriousness, please pray for our teens. They are bombarded with the culture. They're bombarded with all sorts of peer pressure. We've got a culture out there and a media out there that's just pushing and shoving an anti-God agenda. Actually, agendas, plural. And respect for authority, you name it, the list goes on. And just pray for the teens. If you don't do it daily, please do it weekly. They are our leaders of tomorrow. All right. So Mark chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 25. We'll read a couple of verses here. Mark 5, 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. But when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his garment, or if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it provides in our lives. Lord, as we talk about frustrations tonight, Lord, I pray that we would take insight and take heed to your word to get victory over the frustrations that may come in our lives. We thank you again, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight's passage, basically what we learn is we have this woman who's got this medical issue, and she's been dealing with it for 12 years. God's word tells us that she has suffered many things at the hands of many doctors. Now, key word there, many, but many hands of many doctors. So she's been through quite a bit. And she's spent all that she had. And at the end of it, she didn't feel any better. But in the matter of fact, she felt worse. So I might be venturing out on a limb tonight by saying that she was probably frustrated throughout that 12-year span at one time or another. Most of us get frustrated if we have to deal with something unpleasant for more than 12 hours, 12 days, let alone 12 years. So, and I'm sure many will attest, especially in the area of our health, when our health rebounds, frustration comes way up and it abounds. So, frustration. Tonight I want to focus on just a couple different aspects, the different types. I lumped them into two different buckets, made it pretty general. And the other aspect that I'll really focus on is some of the things that we need to realize from God's word when we're frustrated. So the definition of frustration, pretty simple: to disappoint, to defeat, making vain or none effect. I like to boil it down to basically not meeting the expectations that we have. Keyword, my expectations, right? So have you ever started out a day that everything seemed to go wrong? I had a day like this a few months ago where got up in the morning, checked my email. I had an email from a customer, and something that I gave them didn't work, so they wanted a teleconference that day. It was a Monday morning. I love Monday mornings. And then there's a meeting that I had to get to, and I was running a little bit late. And, of course, all of a sudden my check engine light goes on that day. And then there's someone to top it all off. I've got someone tailgating me on my way in. And I was just praying, God, just make that change mode button on my steering wheel like a laser blaster to take care of this guy behind me because he's getting frustrated with that. But so the day didn't start out meeting, quote, my expectations. My expectations. So the Bible has some examples of some frustrated people. Job is one of those good examples, right? He lost his wealth, health, his crops, his livestock, the relationship with his wife, even his, quote, best friends turned on him and accused him of suffering because of his sins. Nehemiah and the Israelites were frustrated due to enemies that came upon them to frustrate them to build the wall, rebuild the wall. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll hit upon that tonight, was frustrated because of a thorn in the flesh. And he sought God several times to get that thorn removed. And do you ever wonder if Joshua and Caleb were frustrated by wandering with the Israelites for 40 years after they said, we can do this? So the different types of frustration, like I said, I'm going to lump those in two different buckets. One is tests. God gives us tests so to help us grow. We already talked about Job. Satan was allowed to touch Job's wealth, health, family, and friends. Those are tests. Then I call the other bucket the self-inflicted bucket. Maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something or don't, or vice versa, and you do the opposite. Maybe it's impatience. You want something, you want it real bad, and you either don't pray about it or your prayer really is just something that's a checkbox. And suppose you went off and made a big purchase without consulting God in a particular prayer, or prayer wasn't involved. And you wonder how much frustration Lot encountered when he lived in Sodom because, hey, that place looks good over there. I'm going there. So the other aspect that I struggle with this is having unrealistic expectations or setting expectations that are higher than God's. So those are the two types, like I said, I lumped those into two different types of buckets. One is our tests, the other one are self-inflicted wounds. So in tonight's reading, I'll reread verses 27 and 28 in Mark chapter 5. But it says here, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. The Bible tells us that she heard about Jesus, and that's, she had started to have faith in Jesus. She had faith that Christ could take care of this frustration, this issue that she had. What are some of the things that we can realize from our frustrations? We need to take the eyes off ourselves and realign our expectations to what God's expectations are. And then we could have hope, just like this woman did here in these two verses. So number one, I've already kind of pointed this out, is realize that you may be looking at yourself a bit too much. Maybe, like I said before, expectations are way too high. We should aim for realistic expectations. Like I've mentioned, I've failed in this area with my kids. I've set the bar so high that they can't possibly get over it. And then when they don't get over it, out comes badness. So don't set the bar where they can't achieve. Another aspect about that is God may be testing you and you're looking at your pain rather than the gain that you could gain from going through the trial. So the first realization is realize you might be looking at yourself a little bit too much. Second realization is we don't have to bear this frustration alone. If you go to Isaiah chapter 41, I'm going to read verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's go back to, or let's go ahead to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, I'm going to read verses 28 and 29. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." See, we don't have to thrash around in our lives, being frustrated with everything, trying to force the thing ourselves. God has told us we don't have to bear these frustrations alone, these weights alone. We don't have to worry. We can give it all over to God. So realize that you don't have to bear this frustration alone. The third realization is God's grace is sufficient. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 7 and go down to verse 10. Second Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, and this is Paul speaking here, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The focus here, as far as God's graces, are on verses 8 and 9. Here the Apostle Paul is really frustrated. He refers to this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what this is. It's probably good that we don't know what this is, because someone might try to categorize it, well, that was Paul's eyesight or whatever. No, it's a wide open thing. So I'm sure we all deal with thorns in the flesh. But he asked God to remove it three times. And God says, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, he's given us, what we need to make it through for that day. Realize that God's grace is not limited. It's not this finite amount of water sitting in this bottle. Think of it as Niagara Falls, and you're taking a teaspoon, and that's enough grace for you, but there's plenty of grace to go around that God can give. So it's like, as I said, trying to drain all of Niagara Falls with a teaspoon. Not going to happen. So God has not promised you lollipops and sunshine every day of your life. But he's promised you strength for the day. So number three, realize that God's grace is sufficient. Fourth one is realize that frustration is only temporary. Even with things such as health conditions that last a lifetime, those are limited compared to eternity. Let's go to Matthew 6. And I want to be clear on this. I may repeat this point twice. I'm not recommending that just because things don't last a lifetime or don't last for a long time that we don't address them. In fact, if you allow frustrations to linger, they can blow up into bigger, badder things, such as anger and discouragement. Matthew 6, if I would just get there. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34 says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek for your heaven." No, I'm on 32, sorry. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So as I said, let me be clear, I'm not recommending that we drop something because it may be temporary. Allowing frustrations to linger can lead to worse things such as anger and discouragement. But what I am saying is, if you have the tendency of overdoing something, such as a type A person might do, then you may want to reevaluate that. One of the things that has helped me, and I unfortunately hasn't helped me lately because I haven't done it, is write down like a top 10 list or a top 5 list that may be irritating you at that point. And I can guarantee you, write another one a week, 3 weeks, 3 months down the road, that list that you wrote initially, it's not, none of those things, or maybe one of those things, is still on that list. So realize that we don't have to be marred and distracted and overcome by frustrations of today. Realize that we have these helps that God can get us through these things. So the fourth thing, realize that the frustration is only temporary. Fifth, realize that the frustration, or realize that we're not going to be tested beyond what we're able to bear. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. First Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So we're not going to be tested beyond our limits. We're not going to face any temptation that no one else has faced in the past. And God will provide a way to escape it if we choose to, if we take that way. So realize that we're not going to be tested beyond what we're able to bear. Number six, and let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Realize that these temptations, or these frustrations and temptations, can be blessings. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Actually, I'm going to start with the second half of verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and the second half says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." See, we can see the power of Christ when we recognize our weakness. We can get out of the way of what God's trying to get us to do. Do we realize that you're on display? You're a Christian, you're on display to others around you. And you're not going to display all that much when things are going peachy keen in your life. But when the tough times come, but not if, but when the tough times come, you're on display. And how do you handle that? Well, the others will see that. They'll see God's power through you if you handle that according to God's word. So recognize your weakness and embrace God's strength, power, and might. Sixth item there was to recognize that God can bless you through these things. And Paul said that in verse 10. Basically, anything that's a limitation in his life, he can rest upon God for. So, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses." God can use those things to help you grow. Number seven is realize that we ought to learn from our frustrations, especially if they're self-inflicted. One would expect that we would learn from self-inflicted trials and issues, because we're the ones that allowed that to go through. And they're probably more painful than the ones that God allows us to go through. So realize that we ought to learn from our self-inflicted temptations. So seven realizations again, I'm almost through here. Seven realizations again were: number one, realize that you may be looking at yourself a bit too much. Number two, realize that we don't have to bear the frustration alone. God will help you through it. Number three, realize that God's grace is sufficient and inexhaustible. Number four, Realize that frustration is only temporary. 5, realize that you're not going to be tested beyond what you're able to bear. Realize that those are blessings. And lastly, realize that we ought to learn from our frustrations, especially when we self-inflict those. In tonight's reading, let's go back to that Mark 5, verse 29. Mark 5, verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. We learned that this woman's issue was removed once she found the right remedy, which was Christ. 2 Corinthians, Paul asked for his thorn to be removed. God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Bottom line here is God has given us what we need. It's just a matter of whether we accept it or not. How often do we dwell in our own frustrations in an attempt to conquer it with our own effort, our own strength, rather than thrashing around in our own strength to handle the frustration ourselves? And making a mess, why not allow God to come in and remedy the situation? By allowing God to handle this, it gives God the honor and glory, not ourselves, allows us to grow, allows us to be blessed by seeing him do great things rather than us making a great mess of things. As I've told the teens before, one of the things I like going to the state fair about is you have that opportunity of seeing someone saved that you wouldn't see saved in normal aspects, like out in our streets here. Usually I give the example, some big burly guy who's a football player and he's got rings coming out every aspect. I would love to see someone like that saved because that shows the power of God. It just takes us, normally we wouldn't want to witness to someone like that walking along the streets, but when we're at the state fair, like that, just, we're emboldened because we have that opportunity. We're right there. We have that opportunity to give out that tract to someone who typically won't take that if they're anywhere else, or typically we may not hand it out. So it's just a blessing to see, go to the state fair and see God do a miracle through some of these people that walk through that area. One of the last things I'll leave you with is, you know, week in, week out, we hear the word of God preached here several times a week. We have a pretty good handle on what the Bible says if we're diligent about reading it. But where the rubber meets the road, we allow our flesh to take over and do the opposite, unfortunately. Paul said, make no provision for the flesh. James said that we should be both a hearer and doer of the word. We have the answer. It's a matter of whether we want to implement the answer to in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, as we go into prayer time, Lord, I pray that you just bless each and every one here. Lord, we ask that bless this message to the hearer, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mark.